Welcome to the Bicycle Media Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the health of the cycling industry.
Not a lot of people had that tone that just said, ride whatever bike you want to ride.
Try and really focus and make sure the rider has a great experience.
There's a couple of things about building a custom bike.
What these e-bikes can do,
the customer just wouldn't take no for an answer kind of thing.
So I think in a way we're in a sweet spot where we don't have all this stuff tying us down.
We just discussed about making the cycling industry more welcoming for women.
The bike mechanic was right there on the floor.
Something that Weir has really done well in the last couple of years is driven by rock and roll.
It's quite hard for them to train when they don't know what they're training for.
Since again, we believe that our bodies are very smart.
We definitely tend to look forward a lot more.
I started to demystify things.
But if you don't have the right staff, that's game over.
You're not selling at that point, you're educating.
Our intent is to educate both motorists and cyclists.
Big thanks to our coffee sponsors, Roasty, for all their support for the podcast. Make sure and check them out at roasty.ca. They've been delivering coffee to Edmontonians and deliver across Canada for orders over $40. Check them out. Big thanks, guys, as always. So, in this episode, we head down to Calgary, Alberta, and we're talking to Joel Sithorpe. His granddad started Bowcycle, and third-generation bike shop owner had a chance to tour his bike shop, and wow, what a cool experience that was. And I always roll into bike shops and tour them and audit them and come in just as a customer to see the look and the feel and to get a vibe and to just see the human interaction. Your brand is the impression that people have of you. And your bike shop and the brand and the experience that people have and what they say about you is sort of dictated by your staff. So you got to have the right people that are just on it all the time. It's tough to manage that. Anyway, so I rolled back in after I put everything into my car. Say, hey, Joel, what's going on, man? And got a cool tour of the bike shop, front, back, whole nine yards. Got to meet all the staff. It was super cool, and it's really great to see people that are passionate about the bike industry and their shop. So the folks down at Bowcycle do a great job, and Joel is super cool. Again, third generation, had a few roles in the company. So going to turn it over to my conversation with Joel. He talks a little bit about a kind of an industry committee that he's a part of, a group that goes through and looks at different shops and the profitability and makes notes and adds suggestions. And that's the next level stuff that those guys do. And that's why they're just killing it down there. They're doing so well and have been for so long. So on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Joel Sithorpe of Bowcycle. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Bowcycle?
For sure. So I'm 35 and it's pretty young, right? But I've been working at Bowcycle since I was about 15, officially, unofficially when I was 12. And my family started that business back in 1957. My grandpa Jimmy, or Grandpa Jim, he worked really, really hard. He started as a worker at the CCM factory in Toronto after the war. And he decided that he didn't want to work in the factory anymore and he wanted a sales job. So he went to the owner there and he said, hey, you know, I can't do the factory stuff. I either need a sales position somewhere else or I got to leave the company. And he didn't want to lose him. So he had an offering for an opening in Bowness, Alberta. And so my grandpa moved here from Toronto and started Bowcycle as a bit of like a fish and tackle and sporting goods and bicycles and motorbikes. And we were one of the first Honda dealers in the Calgary area at that time. Bowness wasn't part of Calgary at that time. So really neat opportunity for him. And then as it progressed in, I think, the 70s, he called my Uncle Jimmy and my dad. They were traveling because that was their passion. But he called them in the 70s and said, hey, I'm in dire straits. I need your help. Our family business is in trouble. And they left traveling and came to work for the shop. And they kind of got stuck there for, you know, the rest of their time working in the industry. So dad was always in charge of the bicycle side of the business, and Jimmy was in charge of the motorcycle side. In the 80s, when there was the recession or depression or whatever you want to call it, the motorcycle side was doing really poorly, and bikes were booming because there was you know, a bit of a depression there. So bikes were booming, and bikes are kind of what kept the industry and us alive, really, at that time. And then in the mid-90s, when mountain biking got really popular, and being that we're in the Rockies, our business took off. And, you know, from then, like, we were in this small little 8,000 square foot store, voluming numbers that the industry just didn't understand. And then when we had the opportunity to build our own building in 2005 and move to a bigger store, we took the opportunity, and my dad built the building that we're in right now, and moved in there in 2005. Dad retired in just after 2007 for our 50th anniversary of the store, and we sold the business to five other people that had been with us for a very, very long time. You know, I was 20 at the time, so I couldn't really take over at that point. And I just don't think I was, you know, I wasn't in the right mindset. I wasn't really knowledgeable enough, and I was pretty young, right? So Dad reached out to four members of the staff that he had worked with for a very long time, and his cousin. His cousin, Kevin Sr. And Kevin Sr. right now is the president of the company. And he'd been in the business, in the industry for a very long time. He was a purchaser with Bell Sports and, a few other, companies doing purchasing. And, so he's running our purchasing department. And then the four other owners are people that had worked with my dad for a really long time. And then, you know, fast forward another 10 years when I turned 30 is when I kind of approached my dad and Jimmy and said, "Hey, you know, I'm an adult. I have a child. I'm getting married. I'm the sales manager at the store. I have all this responsibility, and I got my head on straight, and I'd like to buy into the company." So I started buying into the shares that we kept for the family here. And, I'm still paying them off, unfortunately, but, you know, it is what it is. So, I'm basically buying into that ownership group at the moment. So I'll be 10% owner. The rest of the guys kind of have the 90%. So minority owner, but it's nice to still keep the family name in our store. It really tells about, you know, our business and, you know, how much we really care about that business. You know, I want to see my family business strive for the next however long we can keep her going, right?
You know, you built your own building, you've expanded your size, and kind of went that way 2006-ish, and it's huge. Has it been okay?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, like you're saying, you know, downsizing or getting bigger and things like that. You know, when we moved from the old store, you know, at that 8,000 square feet, you know, we needed to move into something bigger because we had just grown so, so big. Right. And then, you know, going into the new store and filling that with all the same product that we purchased for the little store, was crazy. And then, you know, then the business boomed again, and it was like, holy moly, well, we can't build another store. So what are we going to do? So we kind of expanded internally, to try and provide a better experience for our customers, right? Because, you know, you kind of run out of room really, really fast, and you got to find your ways to bring the product out. And then, you know, and that being said too, like in 2015, when the economy crash happened here, you know, we were really trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, we noticed big drops in our unit sales. So that was a huge thing. We had to react to that. So, you know, instead of downsizing, all we've done is kind of managed our floor a little bit better. And, you know, you have a little less model count, but, the amount of space that's available in our building, it just, you know, even with the smaller amount of bikes that are out on the floor, it still generates a really awesome feel when you walk in, and a really great experience for the customers. Cause you're kind of like, we upsized, but then we downscaled a little bit within the business to make it better. And that's really what we've tried to do. And we've tried to really focus on what's been exploding in the industry right now. So, you know, like, and the numbers tell it all, like in 2015 and beyond across the board, hybrid sales and kids bike sales, Canada, Europe, North America, all around, they went down. Right. And we had to react to that. And what we're really lucky with right now is how big e-bikes are. And I'm really shocked that e-bikes didn't take off in Canada like they did in Europe. Like Europe has had e-bikes for a really, really, really long time. And Canada and North America really only, I mean, we've had e-bikes, but we didn't really adopt or we didn't really get into the e-bike scene until like about 5 years ago when Cube came to North America. And once Cube came to North America, all the other brands kind of got on board and realized how big of a market this was. And it's exploded, right? And, you know, going back to that expanding thing, we're opening, funny times to do it, but we're opening a new e-bike store down in East Village, just a small little 2,500 square foot a retail space of strictly rentals and e-bikes. Now the rental game right now is a little bit iffy with the what's going on, but that e-bike thing is that's the wave of the future.
What is the current square footage of the main shop now in Bonus?
Oh, we're running I think our sales floor is about 2,200 square feet.
Okay. Yeah. So a big increase. So e-bikes, and what are some of the things that excite you about e-bikes in this this second location?
How do I explain it? They're improving and expanding and just getting better and looking more awesome and lighter weights and better geometries that people can actually start riding them. And, you know, looking at the new road bikes that are coming out that we're seeing with Cube and Specialized and Cannondale, just the industry, how fast the industry is moving. And to see more people, whether able-bodied or not, being able to go out on bikes and have fun. That's the thing that's really exciting for me, because you look at the bikes that, you know, 10 years ago, what an e-bike was, and it was this heavy, horrible geometry, you know, kind of goofy throttled bike that they're like, you know, this is really cool. We got to get in this. We'll get more people out on it. And, you know, the people that they wanted to get out on it half the time couldn't even lift the bike up. Right. So, you're seeing how the technology's changed. And, you know, even look at my father, for example, as he had a hip replacement and had some knee surgery, and he never thought he could get out on a mountain bike. Cube had this amazing hardtail mountain bike that came out last year with an integrated battery that was, you know, fairly lightweight. And, you know, he sat on it and rode it around. He's like, oh my God, I can ride these again. And he's been going up to Bragg Creek and, you know, going to the mountains and doing some mountain riding on these bikes. And just seeing him be able to do it after he's had some hardships with his body and his abilities, to be able to go out there and still do it and do the things that he really enjoyed doing, you know, when he was younger is incredible. And, you know, and that being said too, is like, I've had conversations with couples who, you know, the husband's a very strong bike rider and wants his wife to get out, and his wife hates riding with them because every time they get to a hill or a technical section, she gets dropped or he gets dropped. You know, there's some strong women riders out there too. Right. But it equalizes the second person's abilities so that they can still ride and enjoy the time out there. Right. So, you know, the thing that most excites me is just to see what these e-bikes can do for people who really didn't think that they could get out there and ride. Right. And, that's really going to create, you know, a great environment for people who, you know, generally just don't get out and ride. They can go out and have fun and still enjoy it and, you know, still get a workout, but be able to go and see the things or go out and enjoy the fresh air or, you know, a good example is like for example, like, I don't know about your wife, but for me to go out on a 4-hour mountain bike ride is probably not the best thing, but I could probably convince her on an hour and a half. Right. So, you know, to be able to get out there, go to the mountains, go for an hour and a half bike ride, see 80% of the things that I would normally see if I was on a non-pedal assist bike, and then get back home and deal with the kid and have a happy wife. Like, I mean, you know, that's three categories of people there that these e-bikes are really helping. Right. And it's great. It's great.
So I want to shift gears a little bit because I understand that you recently took a trip overseas, business and pleasure, and you did a little bit of work, you know, touring bike shops and a bit of a kind of an advisory committee. Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's absolutely so important that you're learning from other retailers?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can get stuck in your own business very easily. So to have this group that we're a part of, called the P2 Group, part of the MBDA, National Bicycle Dealer Association. It's called the P2 Group. So we're part of this group of 12 different bike shops across North America, and now South America as well. So what we do is every year we go and visit each other's shops. So we visit a shop, two shops a year, basically. So luckily for me, I got to go to Chile with Kevin Sr., our president there, with this P2 group to check out a bike store called Oxford. And Oxford's a really, it's a really interesting story that they have. You know, they kind of started the same time that we started. They started in 1956, and they were building bikes in Chile. And since then, the son of the owner took over, and they're still fabricating some bikes. You know, a lot of their stuff's coming from China, but they get it all shipped to their factory in northern Chile. And they put everything together, and then they distribute. They're actually a distributor as well, and they distribute their bikes throughout Chile. So what we got to learn about was kind of their distributor side, their retail side, and their independent bike dealer side of things. And we got to go see one of their Oxford stores, so Oxford specific. They sell to department stores, they sell to their retailers, and they sell to their IBDs. And seeing the Oxford store was really, really cool because they just gave it a facelift. They're just trying to kind of get it, you know, looking a little bit more how bike shops are nowadays. And, you know, there was a lot of things that they did well, and there was a lot of things that we commented on and gave some feedback to help them improve their business as well. And, you know, to have a group to bounce ideas off of, just seeing different perspectives, different markets, was really neat. We got to learn a lot about the market in Chile, the market in around South America, but also learned from the other shops that are in North America. So, you know, Wheel and Sprocket is a big one, and they do phenomenal work with all the stores that they have. And just to see what they're doing and hear from Noel Kegel, he's incredibly knowledgeable, and same kind of thing. Like his father, Chris Kegel, he's a legend in the bike industry, right? And the stuff that they have done with their store is incredible. And talking to, you know, Scott from BGI and seeing the stuff that he does, and just it's great to bounce ideas, and it kind of humbles you to know that, you know, there's a lot of other stores out there that are successful and also have the same problems that we do, right? And it's neat to be able to bounce ideas off of all those different owners and say, you know, or even if we have questions like, you know, like, how are you taking care of your online shopping? Or, you know, we're opening this new store. Like, you guys have opened a couple stores. Well, what advice can you give us, right? So it's great to hear inside industry information from all these different people, right? And to have this wonderful group of amazing stores to work with, you know, it helps the whole industry, really.
I know we both got to get back to our little ones that are bunkered down at home. Joel, how can folks learn a little bit more about BoCycle?
You know, they can check us out on our social medias. I think it's at BoCycle and Sports on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then, you know, just heading to our website and checking out all the information on there, you know, going to Google, checking out the photos on Google is really neat. I believe there's like a virtual tour of our store on there as well. You know, and even just reaching out, like if anybody has any questions and stuff like that, like I'm happy to answer any questions, or if there's people that want to come check out the store, and you know, I love being a resource of showing people what we do there. You know, it's a pretty, you know, big story of what we have in that building and what my family and the other owners have done to try and be successful there. And, you know, we try and be humble and stuff like that, but, you know, at the same time, we like showing off our building. Right. So, you know, so I, you know, checking out our social media is a big one, following us, joining us on that kind of stuff. And like I said, just check out, just Google Bowcycle and check out the photos that are on the Google business there. And it gives you an idea of what our business is. But if you really have a chance to travel down to Calgary and our little spot down here in Bowness, Alberta, it's worth the trip.
Definitely. We'll have notes in the links in the show notes. Joel, thank you so much for your time this, I guess this afternoon, and look forward to speaking with you and when we're all released from our quarantines here.
Absolutely. Hopefully it's sooner than later.
Big thanks to Joel for his time. Definitely appreciated hearing from him. And again, I really enjoyed the tour and certainly enjoyed this interview, especially when it came down to the P2 group. I really admire companies that take on that initiative to learn from other companies. Doing this podcast outro with my son on my lap. Shout out to all the parents working from home. So if he chimes in, he's just looking to steal the show as he always does. Anyways, my next episode I'm super excited about. It is with Mehdi Farsi from the State Bicycle Company. And I found out about his brand through one of my favorite musicians and producers. That is, of course, Jordan Ruiz. And I get to feature an interview I do with Jordan in a new segment I'm calling Around the Board Talking Bikes. We're going to break down a song that he wrote and recorded as if we were sitting around the mixing console. Then we're going to talk about the State Bicycle that he rides and just how important cycling is to, perhaps to his life and, of course, his songwriting. And he references cycling in the album States. There you go. Again, thanks for tuning in, sending me all your notes. Thanks to my guests, past and present and future. Want to send a big shout out to Adrian Emilson, who's Melody Wheels. Far, far away, says he listens to the podcast all the time. And he is, of course, a guest that we are going to feature in an upcoming episode. Super excited to talk about him. I really love his craftsmanship and just his commentary on the industry. So Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, we're all there. Find us, share us, and keep tuning in. Stay safe. Chat soon.